Hey, what's going on? It is your Thursday episode of Locked On Raptors. Sean Woodley here with you as always. And on today's show, we are joined by a very special guest. It's Amy Audibert, who, of course, you know from doing sideline reporting with the Toronto Raptors broadcast for Sportsnet this year before pivoting into doing color analysis as well next to Matt Devlin. It's been a wild and wacky season for the Raptors broadcast, and I'm excited to talk to Amy about the changes in role and how difficult that is and how she got to be so freaking good at her job. Plus, we're going to take a look at the Raptors road trip that lies ahead. It should be a very interesting test for the team with some tough teams on the slate. Is that the word? Yeah. We're going to dig into that and sort of pick out some things that we're keeping our eye on as the road trip comes up beginning tomorrow in Detroit. That's all coming up on today's episode of Locked On Raptors. Thanks for being here.
Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot kind of miss.
You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Canada, the NBA title is yours.
We're going to the free throw, the Hail Mary 3 by Mo Pete.
Get that cabbage out of here.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 1096 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, January the 13th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. And you can find the show at Locked On Raptors, as always, as well. And you can subscribe to, follow, rate, review, all that good stuff. Do anything you can to support the podcast for free on your favorite podcast apps. It's much appreciated when you do that. Plus, if you go to YouTube and find Locked On Raptors, you can hit the big red subscribe button there, too. And it's very, very kind of you to do that. We're at like 1,450 subs now. So please keep on adding to those numbers. It's very, very cool to see all the new faces and friends and just people hanging out in the comments. It's a very, very nice place to be. So with that, let's get to today's show. Of course, your first listen of the day. And joining me on today's episode, I'm very happy. Someone I've podcasted with a ton about the Canadian Elite Basketball League and also a little bit about the Raptors. Of course, it is Amy Audibert from Sportsnet. Working the sidelines, working the color analysis chair. How's it going, Amy?
It's great. I'm so happy to be here with you, Sean. Yeah, like it's
that's so kind. I love it when people are just happy to slum it with me. It's the best.
Listen, this is some production value here. So, I mean, I am in a new space with you and just loving this first 2 minutes and 34 seconds.
You're behind the curtain. Amy and I are co-hosts on the CEBL show podcast, where we talk about the Canadian Elite Basketball League, which of course has been in the news this year with a bunch of their guys getting NBA deals through all the hardships and everything. But usually for those episodes, we recorded those in the summer before I got this whole setup, and it was a lot of on my laptop camera with my laptop boosted up on a board game with like a very fuzzy camera in my dining room. So this is a far better state of affairs than it used to be, Amy.
It's great. You look great. You sound great. That's still the same. So good job.
Oh, well, that's wrong but kind. let's dig into this, Amy. We're going to talk a little bit about the Raptors and where things are headed. I want to talk to you about the road trip that's coming up and some things you might have your eye on for this team as they kind of go into a very interesting stretch when it comes to testing themselves, right? We'll get into that. I also want to talk to you about the sort of morass of dudes in the second unit and maybe, you know, who is emerging from that, who is maybe losing their standing, and we'll kind of dig into that as well. But first, I want to talk to you about your own season, Amy. It's been wild for you. You were doing sidelines and then, you know, COVID happens and it's a nightmare and everything is thrown for a loop and all of a sudden you're doing color on the sidelines. Obviously a role you've occupied before, Raptors 905 games, WNBA games for the Atlanta Dream. So not like it's a position you're unfamiliar with, but like you're calling games for the Raptors now. It's got to be pretty cool. Like what's the sort of like whirlwind you've been on over the last couple months as your role has gone up and down and changed and has put you in this position where, oh, you're calling games on the sidelines. Oh, you're calling games from a studio with Matt Devlin in the dome. Like it's got to be a pretty wild couple months for you, Amy.
Absolutely. It has been. I mean, and it's not, you know, in some way it's always an unfortunate circumstance that we're back with living in these times right now, but I guess, especially in live television, it doesn't matter if it's sports or whatever. I mean, the number one thing is you have to be prepared for anything. Mm-hmm. And when I first jumped into television, probably about 8 or 10 years now, that was like the most important thing for me, is I just didn't want to do, I just didn't want to have one role that I could do. Mm-hmm. And sure. Especially, I always wanted to work in the NBA. That was always kind of like, for me, like the goal. And there are 30 NBA teams. So for me, I was like, I want to get to the point where I can apply for not 30 jobs, that I can apply for 60 or 90, you know, like, and so I've been fortunate in the last 2 months to do a couple different things. And that was, for me, it was really intentional, again, to be able to, and I mean, it took a lot of time and an effort. It's not like I'm there, like I'm still trying to evolve and get better and figure out, you know, how to better serve the fan base and the network and the team and all these things. But I've certainly put a lot of time in both positions. So you know, just wake up and, all right, what am I doing today? Let's get it done, you know?
Yeah. So, like, I know the way you approach your job. Like, you are so, for everyone who doesn't know, like, we were doing the CBL bubble. It was like a 6-game series of games back in 2020. God, years are fake, time is fake, who knows?
Yeah, but, it's like, you know, 2 centuries ago, back in 2020.
Yeah. So, like, Javon Shepherd and I were doing the play-by-play for those games, and you were doing sideline when we were working. And, like, Javon and I, like, we do our prep. We have our stuff on hand. We know what we're talking about. But then you come in, Amy, with just, like, binders and binders of notes on all these guys. You're just really, really well-prepared, and that's why you're so damn good at your job. But I have to ask you, like, what is the difference in the prep sort of process for a sideline game and a color game? Because, like, those are two very different things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for sideline, I'm always trying to, and I mean, my role with Sportsnet is a sideline analyst. So it's also kind of a new territory that I'm really fortunate and so happy that they kind of tried to do this hybrid position. And I'm still navigating that. And we all kind of are, because I think there's maybe Holly Rowe does it for the Jazz. Like, there's not too many NBA hybrid roles. But, you know, for sideline, it's obviously the news. If something's breaking with the team, I also take that as the opportunity to really dig into some of the things that the men and women of the Toronto Raptors are doing, things that they're passionate about, and be ready for that. I had a system that I thought was going to work. It absolutely does not work. I have a giant binder. Every team, every player on the team has like this, like, basically chapter in my binder. And every time I have a story or hit on them, it gets filed. And I'm like, this is going to be great. The binder's huge. We never have any space. It's so heavy. It doesn't travel with me. But that was the idea.
just, you're not paying for the checked binder? You're like, it's just not worth it for you?
It's just really heavy. I'm glad, I guess, like, you have like a reference, like something to reference to when I get home. And with the analyst stuff, obviously it's more on the trends, the basketball, different, sitting working beside the great Matty D. But I also would say where I think I separate, or where I make myself a little bit different, which you can like or you cannot like, is I think it's still important to incorporate some of those human interest stories into the element of calling a broadcast. Like, I want to know when Justin Champagny starts hitting corner threes. Like, I want to know something about him so I can break down why he's open, why his shot looks so good, the timing of it. I can do that in a 10-second replay. But then when the shot comes back of Justin, I think it's important to talk about him. And I've got to know something about him. And I think that's really important. And again, it's a lot of time, a lot of effort. And sometimes it works great and sometimes it doesn't, and still figure it all out. But it's, that's, here I am over talking, but that's the long-winded version.
Over talking, it's the dream for a podcast host. More time has been filled. Oh, great, fantastic. No, I think you've been doing such a great job on the call, Amy, and I'm not just saying that because, like, I know you and we work together. Like, I legitimately learn things when and I watch a lot of basketball, and sometimes I might zone out and feel like, oh, the color analysts not really teach me much. They're just kind of having a good time, which is fine too. Like, I think all color analysts kind of do their thing in their own way. There's not one right way to do it, but, like, I really feel like you have, like, a knack for kind of diagnosing things, explaining why things are happening in, like, very plain English for dummies like me. And I think that's, like, a really cool thing. Like, is that something that you feel is, like, a natural thing for you? Obviously, you played at a high level in college. Like, you have all the lingo and everything down. Like, that's not a problem for you. But in terms of, like, translating it for the lay people out there, How do you find that challenge and sort of tackling that?
Well, thank you so much, first of all. Yeah, I mean, I think usually an analyst is a former player or someone who's been watching or, you know, just knows the game. And sometimes it's easy to be like, and especially in television, there's always that fine line between like over talking and not talking enough and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like with TV, you can kind of hide that a bit because everyone at home's watching it. But yeah, sometimes it's important to just simplify. Like sometimes, and I know like coaches do it, players do it. And I mean, I did it as a coach, I did it as a player. So it's not a cut against them. And even as an analyst, like we have the tendency to overthink the game. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's not that complicated, right? And so that's like, the first thing, I always just kind of watch the game for like as what's happening. And I mean, yes, we can dig into like the coverage on the screen and, you know, the little intricacies of an offense or defense. But sometimes it's just like, man, they're just not in a stance, yeah, you know, and that's clearly the opposition, not mm-hmm. their offers. You know, but I mean, it's the other thing. It's so awesome. It's like, that was just, you know, he just ran and filled the lane correctly. Yes, you can see mm-hmm. it on TV. Yes, everyone knows it, but sometimes it's nice just to continue, like add color. That's literally the
sure.
goal of the job, is to add color to what's happening. And it can be a lot of fun at times.
Well, yeah, it's a blast watching you, Amy, and I really, really am excited that you're like, yeah, you're in the rotation now of color analyst for the Raptors, because that's a good thing for everybody involved. Amy, we're going to continue on. We're actually going to talk about the Raptors and dig into the road trip that's coming up, the sort of battle for minutes in the back part of the rotation and more. That's coming up in just 1 second here. But first, I want to tell everybody about our friends over at Prize Picks, which has made daily fantasy easier than anybody else. Prize Picks has the very best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from points, assists, rebounds, threes made, steals, whatever it is, it's there. You pick 2 to 5 players, you get an over under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers as well. That's the best part. A lot of these other sites you go to and you're up against some sort of expert, you're up against a million different experts who have these shadow lineups that you have no idea what you're competing with. This is just, hey, here are the projections. Can you beat them? Go ahead. That's great. If you do, you win some money. That is perfect. Prize Picks also allows mixed sport entries. You can take the over on Joel Embiid and take the under on Aaron Rodgers getting the vaccine in the same entry. You can use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play as well. Prize Picks is safe and it offers fast withdrawals too. And it's a really, really wonderful place. They have figured out daily fantasy in a way nobody else has. Go to prizepicks.com today or go to your app store and download the app. All users that deposit and use the promo code NBA will get $50 free if your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. That's right. You need a single point. Boom. You get that $50 free bonus in your account. That's right. Go check it out with the promo code NBA at prizepicks.com. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. And we continue on here with your first listen of the day on Locked On Raptors with Amy Audibert of Sportsnet and, you know, the world, taking over the world. How about that? The Toronto Raptors, Amy, have a road trip coming up. It's not an easy one. They take on the Pistons on Friday. Obviously, the Pistons are not very good at all, but Cade Cunningham's fun. They beat the Jazz earlier this week, and you got the Dwayne Casey, Nick Nurse blood feud that always kind of adds a little bit of juice to the affair. You got the Milwaukee Bucks coming up on Saturday. Hopefully, the Raptors get to play Giannis. That's a weird thing to say because you want to see the Raptors win, but Giannis is awesome, and it would be a cool test for the Raptors to play the fully healthy Bucks for the first time this season. Then on Monday, it's Kyle Lowry's Miami Heat. Next Wednesday, it is the Luka Doncic-led Dallas Mavericks, who are playing really good basketball right now. And then they close out the road trip against Kyle Kuzma's Washington Wizards on Friday. It's a loaded schedule, 5 games in 8 days. Amy, are you dreading the travel on this one? Are you? I guess you're not traveling right now because of, you know, the world, but yeah. More so
a lot of basketball. Like,
and there's a lot of basketball and it's a lot of good teams, which the Raptors have not played a ton of lately, you know, because teams have not had their players and that's been just the way it is. And there's nothing you can really do about it. And you got to beat who's in front of you or play who's in front of you. But you know, we saw the game against the Suns earlier this week, Amy. There were a lot of promising signs there, even though they lost. The Suns are awesome. You lose to the Suns. That's what happens. But with the next five games here on the road, they've been like basically at home for the entirety of the last month or so, like a couple of road games sort of sprinkled into a very home dominated schedule. What are you looking for on this road trip in terms of like the things that you're really watching to see if, okay, let's see if these things can continue on from the homestand and see if the success can kind of carry through these five games. What you got your eye on?
Well, first of all, I'm wondering if the Raptors passport's updated because he's clearly the key moving forward.
He needs fans to like, yeah, just like let him go and bother the people of Detroit, please.
I just stop thinking about this. Listen, you mentioned five games, four of those are against Eastern opponents. And I think that's a huge deal, right? When we look at how close the Eastern standings are, a lot of these games could be pretty important moving forward. The Phoenix loss, I don't think too many people love moral victories. I'm not one of them. But the reality is, without two starters, they had one of the best teams in the NBA who is healthy on their heels. And I think that that means something for this Raptors team, who, again, is just, as we say, two bodies, two starters missing in Scottie and Gary, are still like just getting healthy, just getting together for the first time this season. And so I think getting them back and hopefully getting them back anyways at some point is going to be big. But yeah, they're tests. Every game's a test. Every single one. And don't forget, Detroit beat Toronto at home, right?
Earlier
season. So it's not like that's going to be a cakewalk for Dwayne. Yeah, Dwayne Casey's always kind of got the number here. So it's going to be – that's a first big test, and that's a Friday night game. And I think it's one at a time, but just the opportunity to – win some, especially against Eastern opponents here, is a huge deal. And also, I would say being on the road, they are going to be back in gyms that are packed.
Yeah.
It is a different vibe. And our last trip was actually that giant trip in November.
Right.
And it was kind of funny because by the end of it, everyone's like thinking, oh, you know, December is going to be at least not, I'm not saying the players or anyone that I'm talking about the broadcast. We were like, yeah, December's three trips. They're one-offs. It was like Chicago, Cleveland, like supposed to be anyways. So it was like, we're going to be home. It's going to be great. And I think you get to the point and you're getting excited to go back on the road a little bit, play in the hostility. I used to love playing on the road, the hostility of the crowds. I mean, come on, you know, and I think there's a little bit of that too. So there's a lot of good things to look forward to right now for the Raptors.
Yeah, I that's an interesting point you make, because that has been something that has come up in the past, like at the end of a long road trip. I think Kyle Lowry talked about that a lot, like more than once during his time with the team. Like at the end of a long road trip, it's like, yeah, you know what, we're ready to kind of get back out there and sort of like hang out with the guys and do the road trip thing. Obviously, it's a little bit of a different situation than it normally would be. But I think, you know, maybe it's even more of a, hey, let's get the hell out of here because we can go play with fans type of thing. Like, you've been in the building, Amy. You've kind of experienced this fanless experience. Like, is it going to be like a shock to go play five games in a row without fans? Like, do you think it's just kind of normalized at this point? Like, how much has, I mean, obviously it hasn't had a crazy impact on the winning because they won all those games basically, except for the Suns one where they didn't have fans in the building. So like, maybe it doesn't really matter all that much, but like, do you think there will be a tangible change, sort of an adjustment for these guys as they go and play in gyms where it's not just sort of this cavernous hall where just the Raptors skulking around is the only person in the building?
I think these guys have proven that they have the ability to do that, right? And I mean, when you look at the bubble and then you looked at the Tampa experience last year, for them, it's kind of like, yeah, like they know where it's at, you know? And again, I think that playing in packed gyms, regardless of if you're the home or visitor team, there's something very fun about that. And I just also want to say, I understand why the decision's been made up here. This is serious. And I think the hope is to make sure we can get back quicker than
totally. Totally.
So and that's the thing. Like, I know it's definitely like a heated debate. Certainly want to get fans back in Scotiabank Arena. I don't think that for the guys, I don't think it's a huge, it is an adjustment, but for them, they're professionals and they continue to show that all the time. This is not the first time they've dealt with it. And if there's out of the 30 teams in the NBA, the one that understands what this kind of complete contrast is, it is the Toronto Raptors.
That's a very, very good point. In terms of things going forward here in the road trip, Amy, like, something I want to sort of zero in on is the defense, because it's been this sort of weird thing where, you know, it started off really rough to start the season. And I think most of the struggles have been sort of attributed mostly to just a lack of chemistry, a lack of reps with one another. It's still a very sort of new group of guys. They've played, what, 10 games together as their sort of like full selves, if that. You know, the defense looked really good against the Suns. It was why they were able to hang in that game, because their offense was certainly not why they were able to hang in that game on Tuesday. And, you know, they've had their moments. Obviously, there have been other games like the Jazz game in the first half and the Bucks game where the defense totally just like forgets how to play for a half at a time. As you know, as this road trip goes forward here, you know, I'm curious, like, what do you think the true Raptors defense is? Like, do you think it's this sort of middling, closer to the bottom half than it is the top half type of defense? Do you think it has the capability to climb back up into the top half, flirt with top 10? We've talked about this a little bit this week, but I think trying to decipher what the defense is going to be sort of the biggest thing to tell whether this team is able to go on a run and be the sixth seed, because the offense, as promising as things have been, and as much as it keeps on hanging near the top 10, totally inexplicably considering some of their profile, like, the defense is going to be what powers this team, I would think. That was what we thought before the season, and that's what I think is still true. But do they have like enough runway here, do you think, to get to that level where they're on a string like they were against the Suns for more than just a game or a half at a time?
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of the Raptors defense, right? Is like, I think that there's a little bit of it that is predicated on just a lot of swarming and confusion and what is going on. But it's interesting, when I was involved with a team that was the style we wanted to play, and no one could figure out, as long as the people on the court and in the locker room know what you're trying to do, then it doesn't matter what anyone else knows, right? And sometimes, like, those are the best defenses that look a little bit like, again, what's happening right now. But
yeah,
really, I think they all understand, like, their length is the most overwhelming thing. They're going to continue to – they'll run into problems when you have a, you know, 300-pound, 7-footer that gets 2 feet from the basket. And it's happened once in a while, but that's when, like, if you see them, you got to jump out and play the passing lanes, the communication and the ball pressure. But like you said, we saw it against Phoenix, so I don't think it's unrealistic to expect that, right? And that's where they want to be. And then you said it's just making it more consistent and to the point of them actually having a nice offensive rating or being up there. It is off their defense for the most part. And Fred VanVleet and Pascal right now. Very good basketball. But yeah, I mean, it's a team that's, again, like, their strength is going to be their ability to defend, to create chaos and havoc. I remember in the Milwaukee game, they jumped out and set a trap or two late that got picked off. Like, that's, again, five guys on a string, like you said, right? But it's like just these little surprise kind of like little efforts. And it does, it requires chemistry. I say it all the time. When teams talk about having chemistry, new bodies, bringing someone back that's been injured, you think of chemistry and you literally think of that means on the offensive end. But I mean, there's same thing can be said on the defensive end, understanding who you're out there with, how they defend, how they close out. You know, if a certain guy gets beat as a teammate, you know if he can recover because you've played with him multiple times, right? So maybe your help isn't as strong, or maybe you're not digging down as much. All those things are just reps and playing together. So while we talk about that offensively, I think it's very fair to also say the defensive chemistry, but it's continuing to start to really push forward. And now it's just consistency.
I have to ask you, Amy, you were a center in your days at Miami. How would you have held up in Nick Nurse's insane, everybody's running all over the place defense?
Absolutely not. I was like, you know, the 2-1-2 of a zone, I was like the best one. If anyone, my rules, like, if you come into the paint, I get to go hit you. Like, that I mean, I was an elite communicator. I would say that was my thing. I was a great communicator. And if you came into the paint, I'd completely hit you. But if you asked me to switch out on a guard on a ball screen, like above the 3-point line, all right. But, you know, just so you know, everyone else is out of rotation. We had a 5-4 for me. Like, our 5-5 was switch all. Our 5-4 was everyone switches except the center. I would jam the heck out of screens. Like, I would take fouls if I could, jamming screens. Like, it was, you know, it was a messy, messy game.
Amy, we're going to continue on and round out the show. I want to talk about the sort of battle for bench minutes right now, and, you know, guys who are playing, guys who aren't playing, and maybe we see some sort of I don't know, clarity as to what the rotation is going to be in the second unit going forward as this road trip ramps up. We'll get to that in just 1 second here, Amy. But first, I want to tell the people out there about Bet Online. Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new betting year as they continue their march towards the playoffs and beyond in football, basketball, hockey, all of the sports. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year, and you've got a new updated desktop mobile website to check out and sign up at today. Go receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit as well by using the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON. That means if you put in $100, you get 50% of that added to your account as well. So you got $150 to play with. That is a great, great deal from football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the amazing offers for 2022. Maybe you want to put some money down on your Toronto Raptors, for example. They're winning some games. They're covering spreads. Maybe go check them out and check out what the lines are today over at Bet Online, which is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. Bet Online is where the game starts. And we round out your first listen of the day here with Amy Otterbert from Sportsnet hanging out, previewing the Raptors road trip. And I think one thing, Amy, that I'm really curious to see is whether this road trip helps to get a little bit of clarity as to what the second unit is going to look like night to night. Lately, they've been going with this, everyone off the bench is a big and we'll figure it out. And Pascal Siakam and Scotty Barnes are the backup point guards, which I feel like there's this sort of like underlying desire from Raptors fans to just like, oh, you got to go get a backup point guard. You got to go get one. I'm perfectly fine with Scotty Barnes and Pascal Siakam doing what they're doing. It's working pretty well if you haven't paid attention. Like it's a pretty good thing, but you know, that obviously, you know, it creates some strange dynamics with the lineups and Nick Nurse is trying some weird stuff. They're playing all 6'8", 6'8", 6'9", dudes at times. And it's been a little bizarre, but it's been fun and it's working in a lot of ways. But Amy, you know, we're seeing Justin Champagne really make a push for regular minutes. Just constantly, whenever he hits the floor, there's an offensive rebound falling into his grasp. You've got Chris Boucher, who at one point this season, I would have said, hey, maybe he's not really deserving of rotation minutes. He's absolutely deserving of rotation minutes. He's probably deserving of being the first guy off the bench for the Raptors and is going to close a lot of games right now, especially if Scotty Barnes is going to be out. Like that, he's been excellent, and there's no two ways about it. And if he's going to play like this, he's in. Ken Burch, obviously, we know is in as well. But then you've got Yuta Watanabe, struggled a little bit lately. Svi Mykhailiuk, struggled a lot bit lately. Malachi Flynn not playing at all, and you know, where is he? Is he part of the plans? Who's to say? But as far as that sort of back end of the rotation, Amy, you know, you got Precious Achiuwa in there as well. There's lots of guys who are vying for minutes who do different things. Is there someone who you think is not receiving regular time right now, who's maybe been more of a bit part, who deserves to be in there all the time? And is that Justin Champagne?
Well, I wouldn't say like that deserves to be in there all the time. I think sure. Justin's starting to do a good job and it's not going to be out, go out there and play like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think they've done it because the thing with Justin, by the way, I think he's awesome. He's a cool guy. I mean, just totally like embracing every single step, but that's the brilliance of the way they've handled him is that it's been like a little progression at a time. If you're noticing his first couple minutes when he would get in earlier, it was like, go grab some rebounds. You know, and then he went over to the 905 and dropped 30 or 34. And then 2 days later, he had that tap in that was an almost buzzer. And so it's kind of like they've never thrown him in situations where it's like, go win us a ball game or go. And now he's at the point where he can get in there and he hits a couple shots and he defends and he roams around the rim really nice. And it's awesome when like Pascal, like trusts the undrafted rookie, like to hit a big button, like, you know, and we're seeing all that stuff. So he's earning more trust and it's coming. So, I mean, yeah, I think Delano's going to, you know, he's been a bit up and down lately, but he came out of protocols. It was a knee, right? That he had.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
So, I mean, again, like it's not like people are being like completely sent to the side for no reason at all. While I understand you want a consistent rotation, how boring are you? I'm just kidding. No, but I would say this.
How Dwayne Casey of me to want the same nine guys every night. Yeah.
I would say, you know, imagine. So as a fan, as an analyst, like we try to kind of get a grasp of where things are maybe going just for us to feel like to feel like some kind of, can you imagine playing in the last like month? You've got guys who at the beginning of the year, like Svi's a perfect example where he hasn't been shooting well. He hasn't been playing well the last week or so, a couple weeks probably. But I would say his role has been, and it's no one's fault, but he goes from like, okay, come off the bench. Now you're going to start. Now you're going to play big minutes. Now you're not going to play at all. And that, like, so just like finding balance. So when you check into a game, so I think like a guy like that, he should continue to get his opportunities. He's not just a shooter. He can do really nice things in the open court. So, I mean, I think it's just, again, this road trip's going to be a huge opportunity. It's going to be really interesting to see with Scotty and Gary, because that's going to create or maybe limit more opportunities. But the other, I think in terms of importance, I think Utah off the bench is like what he does. That's what the bench mob is. Ridiculous energy, get the crowd like going nuts, creating opportunities. I think Precious can be that. I really do. I think Precious can be that. And you're seeing him really kind of, I don't want to say like the game slowing down for him, because, but you're seeing him kind of like take that extra power dribble every once in a while now and like finishing super strong and going in there and grabbing rebounds. And I mean, Chris has been on a tear. So I think it's just also just a matter of just finding for them to find some consistency in their roles.
Yeah. And I mean, it might just be the situation where there is no sort of regular stasis in the back part of the rotation, right? And it's, hey, the matchup calls for this night. This guy's not looking so hot. This guy goes in. I just think Justin Champagne should play more. I love Justin Champagne. I love how he just knows where to be at all times. And I have to ask you, Amy, like, he's so good at offensive rebounding and just knowing where the ball is. So I'm going to ask you to draw on your post-play experience in the past. Like, how does one get so good at knowing where the ball is going to land? Like, is there like, are you doing drills on like learning angles? Do you have a protractor kit where you're doing geometry lessons, like in your downtime and film sessions? Like, is that just like a natural sort of an, I guess everyone would do it if it were easy. Like, what goes into being that good an offensive rebounder? Because it seems extremely difficult.
Yeah. I mean, he's got immaculate timing on his jump, right? Like that's part of it. And really good rebounders, they see the rim, they see the shot, and then they can also see the bodies, right? And so I think, and part of it with him too, is he just moves without the ball in his hands so well that he's in, he finds himself in good positions. I think it's a combination of anything, but everything. But then let's like, we're talking about his physical ability to get up and to time and to leap. But then there's just like the shoulders up, right? I think that he's been so good. And he, it's interesting. I think he recently said too, like that was, he did that in college. Like he was a rebounder. Like that's what he did. And he was a hustle guy. So huge kudos to him for, again, getting this opportunity in the NBA at such a, coming right out of college and not trying to like push it to the point where like he, you know, and I don't want to say play outside himself, like he's not capable. He's got a very high ceiling, but it was like, hey, this is what got me here and I'm just going to continue to do this. So, I mean, listen, and also like, you know, if you're guarding a Jokic, like you're not checking Champagne. Right. Yeah. So like, that's just the reality of it. Like if you're a big around the rim, you're probably getting your own guy. So he's been doing a great job. And especially against zone defenses, again, like he's so great around the baseline and making those little cuts. And he's often finding gaps. So when the shot goes up and there's no bodies around, he's got the hops to go get it.
Yeah, he's kind of like a little apparition that just floats through box outs. It's like, oh, your box. Yeah, sorry, I'm a ghost. Ball's mine. Bye. It's really fun to watch. I think I really love a dude who exudes the energy that I wish to exude as a 45-year-old man playing pickup one day. Where it's like, I'm doing all the smart plays. I'm setting hard screens. I'm grabbing rebounds over like children. That really is like the future I want. And Justin Champagne is playing like I want to be. What was that?
And then you're spending half your paycheck on bags of ice. And it just ain't worth it, Sean. Or
oh, no, no. It's, yeah. It is worth it for the glory of destroying teens at the Y. totally worth it. I love it. You know, he's for me the new guy who like, you know, I think this has been like a parlor game that I've played before on the show. It's like, oh, like which Raptor most embodies your game at the Y or pickup? And it used to be Luis Scola for me, like slow, gonna settle for jumpers a lot, but man, I'm a good teammate. and now Champagne has become my new sort of bar to shoot for. Amy, go ahead.
Do you want mine?
Yes, please. Yes, absolutely.
I'm JYD, man. Like, put yes. me in. I'm going to pump everybody up. I'm going to have the best time. I'm going to wear high socks. Like, that's me.
Do you bark at all? Have you ever barked at a person?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I one time called JYD. I was producing a radio show, and we had JYD on the show. I one time called him, and he barked at me. Just like, hey, JYD, it's Sean. Arr. Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Was it like breakfast? Was it like 6 a.m. radio when you were pumped for the day?
No, like, it was like a Saturday afternoon, and he's just barking. Yeah, no, he's the best. Awesome. Love JYD. Very glad that that's your – honestly, I think Justin Champagne embodies – you know, we were like, oh, Damari Carroll, JYD 2.0. Never made a lick of sense. Champagne might actually have a case. again, he has to learn to bark, though. Amy – this was so fun. Thank you so much for hanging out. I hope we can do it again sometime. Hope you have a good time calling all these games on the road trip and, you know, just doing your thing because you're kicking ass. And you're really, really good at your job. People know where to find you. But if there's anything that people should know about, when, you know, stuff that you got going on, things you care about, a movie you liked, I don't know, go ahead and plug.
I'm just all about hoops right now. I got the new season of Dexter was just had a heated debate about this last night.
Mm.
If you're into Dexter, like, we can chat about that too. But,
I have never watched Dexter. I never got into it. There's a sad reason why, but I won't bore you with that on the podcast. But we can get sad off air, Amy. We'll have a little therapy sesh. But no, if I'm plugging something, go watch The Righteous Gemstones. I'm watching that back. It's so good. It's fantastic. That's my plug. Also, my plug is follow me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. Follow Amy at Amy Audibert. The Twitter handle's right there on the YouTube. If you're watching, you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. It's very much appreciated. It's a wonderful thing to do. Helps me out, strokes my ego, all that good stuff. And we're on YouTube as well for free. So please go subscribe there too. And thanks for making us your first listen of the day. Now make your second listen of the day Locked On Bets, as your boy Q and Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports are cutting through all the noise in the COVID-ridden sports landscape right now, winning you some money with their betting picks every night. So go and check out Locked On Bets. And with that, we will wrap it up. We'll be back again tomorrow to round out the week with Katie Heindel. Until then, bye-bye.